Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. Without further ado, put your hands together for the creator and the host. You know her, you love her. Please give it up for Christine Blackburn.
Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn, and you are here on such a fantastic night. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've got a fantastic show. Like you heard Richard say, it's our one-year anniversary. And after the show tonight, every single one of you is getting a surprise to take home. How about that? Exactly. All right, let's get this show started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel, and there's one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. There's also three additional spaces that say audience, and if the contestant lands on audience, then it's up to you guys to throw out your story suggestions. Yes? Are you thinking of them already? Good, good, good. And then our expert judges will choose one of those story topics. And speaking of expert judges, let's get them on the stage right now, you guys. Our first judge is an actor who you've seen on Silicon Valley, and he currently plays Marlon Wayans' best friend on NBC's Marlon. He's also written for such shows as Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, The Last OG, and Chocolate News. You can follow this Harvard genius at Diallo on Twitter. Let's hear it for Diallo Riddle. There he comes, yes. All right, you guys. Our next judge is a former television news producer who was first discovered through her hilarious takedowns of celebrities and pop culture on Twitter. She's written for GQ, Glamour, Grantland, and Paper Magazine, and she also has a humorous memoir called Immature Adult. You can follow this queen of Twitter over on Twitter at Jenny Johnson. High five. Let's hear it for Jenny Johnson. Yes. Right on. And our final judge, you guys, is a five-time Emmy Award-winning television writer and executive producer for his work on Modern Family. His new book, He Started It, chronicles his Twitter war with President Donald Trump. And most importantly, you guys, this next man coming to the stage made out with Larry King on this very stage last month. I mean, that's the kind of thing that can happen, you guys. You can follow this American hero on Twitter at Danny Zucker. You guys, put your hands together for Danny Zucker. All right, all right, you guys. This is going to be a blast. Now, Danny and Jenny, you guys have both judged before. Yes. But Diallo, yes, you're the newbie.
But I'm going to learn fast.
You will.
I'm going to learn fast.
We're going to play three rounds of the game tonight. And the first round, the contestants will be telling a true one-minute story. The second round, a two-minute story. And the third round, two contestants will move on and tell a three-minute story. Diallo, what do you think is the hardest to tell? 1, 2, or 3 minutes?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, I think that two-minute round, I think that's going to be the one that's going to be the savage round. I apologize to anybody. You know, I've been playing a lot of HQ lately.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, I think the two-minute round, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
You can get lost in the weeds. You could be thinking, oh, it's like a minute and 30, and then it's not.
So, yeah, exactly. Because I'll tell you, if the contestants go over the allotted time, then they're going to hear this. Whoa, okay, there you go. That's what they're going to hear, and then you guys take that into consideration.
Oh, totally.
Oh, my God,
No, if you go over, you're dead to me.
Holy shit, yeah.
No, it's true. Yeah. And in addition, they don't want to go too short either.
No, you don't want to be too short.
No.
Nobody likes that.
I mean, it kind of... Anyway,
Yeah.
Go on, who you're saying?
And here's the thing, folks. When the contestants come to this stage, we're going to tell them what to do, and that is to this. What are they going to do? Yeah. But you guys will do it in a much more enthusiasm. I know you guys will. We're going to start right away, and we're going to be pulling five contestants' names out of this jar. They're coming up at random, you guys. And I got to tell you, the first person who comes to this stage, be kind, because this isn't easy, man. This is not easy, and they're telling a true one-minute story.
It's not that hard.
I could do it. I would fucking nail it. Go on.
First contestant coming to the stage is an Emmy Award-winning writer for his work on HBO's Last Week with John Oliver. He's also written for The Jim Jefferies Show and totally biased with W. Kamau Bell.
Okay.
You can follow this Denzel Washington stalker on Twitter at Kevin Avery. You guys, give it up right now for Kevin Avery. Come on.
Woo-hoo!
All right.
Yeah.
And now we tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Boy, they did that very well.
Yeah.
sorry. You said not to do it. You said not to spin it too hard, and I get up here and look, I'm new.
You're getting a point for strength. I like.
Oh.
Wow.
No, that's good.
Oh, that's I free. Spin again?
No.
No.
No way. He landed on free. Look, yeah. You guys. That's
come
on free.
Dude,
so he gets to choose. Yeah, he gets to choose.
I'm happy for
topic.
Us.
Wait, I pick
that
one of the audience
picks. Steal something.
You get to tell a 1 minute story about anything you want.
Yeah.
On that wheel.
Oh, all right. Oh. Well, shit. I'll go with interviews. Fuck that.
Interviews. Interviews. Wow.
The weirdest interview I went on was an interview that I didn't know was an interview. I applied to go to on a police ride along, and first I was rejected because of apparently my cocaine possession arrest. turns out there was another Kevin Avery with of my exact middle initial, same birthday, different year, and so we straightened that out. I was just told him no, that wasn't me, and they're like, oh, okay, you're fine. So honor system there. I went on this ride along, and it took me no time at all to. I didn't. The guy suddenly said it. Well, if you get the job, da da da. And I was like, I'm not trying to be a cop. But by the end of the night, the guy was like, hey, we're looking for. We were looking for some vandalism suspects. And he's like, so they're blah, blah, blah. And he gives me the description. And no time at all, I'm pointing out people on the street like those guys look there. They look suspicious. Get those motherfuckers. Like it was that. I had suddenly become the man. And I remember he stepped out of the car at one point and he asked me, can you put the radio on channel one? And I was like, oh, you want me to get the shotgun? And that was all right.
Well, Kevin Avery, you guys. Woo-hoo! Kevin Avery. Wow. What'd you think, Diallo?
Oh, that was great. I was actually spellbound, and I kind of wanted to see even more about where it went. Like, you know, eventually did they make him like an undercover? Like, you know, was he so undercover he'd forgotten that he wasn't even supposed to be a cop? Like,
tell us, Kevin.
Well, what I learned is that I'd make a bad cop because a few hours in, I just fell asleep in the car. Like, I was just on a road trip. I was just asleep, cop next to me. I'm in the front seat, dozed off.
So, sounds like you probably did good. Then with them,
I guess I survived. I made it home.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they sleep too.
I'll never be on the force. That's for
but
sure.
But did you find Banksy?
No.
Graffiti artist? No, y'all did not.
Still on the loose.
I got it.
Danny Zucker.
I got it. Well, I'm just as a former cocaine addict. I'm just super concerned.
yeah.
About the real Kevin Avery. Did we ever find out what happened to him? How did he turn out? Do we know?
All I know is that like 6 months later. I had this day job, this office day job, and someone got a call asking for Kevin Avery from prison, from an inmate in prison.
Wow.
When it was recorded,
like from Serial.
Yeah.
And the
admin knew who I was. Was like, I'm sorry, and then they called back, and you have a collect call from, and the recording said, you know who this is. And
oh my God.
He's not here. But this guy said that he had been referred to Kevin Avery. He heard Kevin Avery could help get him out of jail.
Wow.
Kevin Avery is a good guy.
Yeah. We got to get him next week.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, Kevin Avery, let him hear it. Okay, so that's how you play the game. Wow, he did a great job. You know what I forgot to mention is that tonight, the fifth contestant is actually an audience member, and we did this last month, and it worked out very well, didn't it, Danny?
He was okay. I want to be honest. I mean, he was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, it's very hard to be pulled out of an audience and then tell a story if you're just like, a civilian and not a professional storyteller. but it was, he did fine.
He was fine. And we're going to do that tonight. So
And the bar was low, so whoever goes up, you're gonna be great.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to be pulling an audience member out of here at some point. I don't know when. But right now, we are going to hear from a fabulous contestant. She is making her last appearance here, actually, tonight in Los Angeles before she leaves us for the Big Apple. She's a comedian and a writer and a recurring host on The Adam Carolla Show and Loveline with Dr. Drew. And you can check out her podcast, Mentally to Ill, where she talks to comedians about depression and mental illness. You can find her over on Twitter, at Kristen Carney. Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Carney! Woo-hoo! All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Wheel of Fortune style.
That's perfect. That is a well-oiled wheel.
Pat Sajak once told me to go to hell on Twitter, and then he deleted the tweet. True story.
Stop bragging.
Yeah.
Who did?
Pat Sajak. You were just in the... It's
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I say Wheel of Fortune spin?
You did say Wheel.
Oh, shit. I meant to say the... Price is Right. Thank you, Wheel of Fortune spin.
Yeah.
Who would be like this on Wheel of Fortune?
I don't have a Drew Carey or a Bob Barker story.
Oh, my God. Vacation. Okay. Well, actually, the Pat Sajak thing, I was watching Jeopardy yesterday. This has nothing to do with the story. But there's two types of people who watch Wheel of Fortune and then people who watch Jeopardy, right?
Yeah.
People who watch Wheel of Fortune. I'm someone who should watch Wheel of Fortune, but I watch Jeopardy because, like, I can't get the answers right on Jeopardy, but I watch it. Anyway, sorry, guys. That was random. Sorry. I'm out of it.
I'm sorry.
I'm out of it.
I'm sorry you're out of time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank God. Goodbye. Okay. Vacation. I went on vacation when I was like 16 to Europe with a dance troupe. And while I was there, it was really, really, really scary. We were in Paris, and twice I was almost abducted. Thank you very much. It's very flattering, but I was twice almost. So the first time, this is the best that, like, I was like bragging for the rest of the trip. I'm like, twice, some guys, you know, they wanted me. So the first time I was walking down, I can't do accents, and I'm very white trash. Champs-Élysées, did I get it? Kind of
know. Nailed it.
Thank you. Champs-Élysées, that's where I was. And a guy grabbed my arm and pulled me backwards with his clan, and I screamed and I ran forward. And then that was it. No one went, oh my God, wow. It was just, no one saw it. And then the second time I was in a restaurant and I asked where the bathroom was, and the guy led me down the stairs, and I thought, well, okay, thank you. You could just point. Thank you. And he pulled me into a stall and pushed me into the bathroom. And I scream and ran again. Thank you very much.
Kristen Carney.
I was almost assaulted twice. Thank you very much. Thank
wow.
you. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. Danny Zucker, what did you think of that?
I still love baguettes, though.
No, it was, it was taken four. I mean, the whole thing was amazing. I often tell my daughters, one of my daughters wants to go to Europe, and I've let them know that I have no particular set of skills. Like, there's no way, like, if they get abducted, it's like, hey, cool, I still have your twin sister. Because I write dick jokes, and I don't know how that's going to intimidate him.
But don't you know people, Danny?
No, I don't know anybody.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jenny Johnson.
I know Jenny Johnson.
Yeah, that's what he hangs out with me. Like,
all right, what'd you think of the story?
I liked it. I think it was like a prequel, I was going to say, to Taken. It sounded like you were the original OG of Taken. Congrats.
Thank you very much. But my dad would never save me, though. That's the opposite story, you know.
Was your dad alive?
Yeah, but barely.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Our dads are dead.
Both of our dads are dead, so.
Tell me more about your live dad.
Live dad, yeah.
Diallo Riddle.
This is our favorite joke.
We do this all the time whenever somebody asks
about their dad,
being alive. We make them really uncomfortable that both our dads are dead.
Oh, yours is alive. Go, no, keep going. Yeah, you know.
Well, you guys get the benefit of the death. I still have to do the gifts and that all, you know.
Sorry.
I would kill to get my father a gift.
Oh, God.
Diallo Riddle, what do you think of that vacation? I mean,
all I can think about now is that I have no parents left.
No.
Both mom and dad.
And we have a winner.
And when people come up to me, they're like, oh, you know, my grandfather died.
Yeah.
I'm like, grandfathers are supposed to die.
Yeah. Exactly.
I never even knew.
Sucks to be you. Your grandfather died. You know, I have no parents left. I just want to talk more. You know, I'm from Atlanta, and we have a lot of French names for our streets, but, you know, it's Ponce de Leon. You know what I mean? Like, we've mispronounced everything. So that, to me, was the most endearing part. That I was like, she's relatable. She's like me.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Kristen Carney. Let her hear it. Kristen Carney. Okay, you guys. Drawn the next name. And I have drawn the name of a fabulous contestant. She is a former TV news reporter turned comedy writer performer who has contributed to shows like Late Night with David Letterman, Jimmy Fallon, Saturday Night Live, Detour, and Comedy Central's At Midnight. You can currently see her on Netflix's Todd Glass Act Happy. And her new book, check out this new book Lauren has coming out. It's called And Then You Die of Dysentery, Lessons in Adulting from the Oregon Trail. That's coming out in October, and I look forward to that. You can find this Alaskan on Twitter at Lauren Reeves. All right, you guys, big, huge round of applause for Lauren Reeves. Ow! And tell her what to do.
Okay, I'm going to do it gently, because I'm a suck up. And you're not supposed to do it hard, you guys.
Oh, this is exciting.
That's what you get for sucking up.
Yeah, this is when things get exciting. So now we want you guys the audience to throw out some story suggestions, and then our expert judges will choose one of those topics. What do you want to hear?
Puberty.
Someone who came in Hollywood.
Surgery.
Cottage cheese.
Puberty got a hard no. Just want to point that out.
Okay, so I heard
puberty, cottage cheese, and surgery.
I heard puberty, puberty, and surgery. New guy, what do you think? I mean, it's
Diallo.
Yeah, you make the choice. You make the call.
Yes.
Surgery.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Surgery.
I apologize to the cottage cheese fans in the crowd.
I feel this is weird. Do you guys think of all those things when you look at me? It's a little insulting. All right. Well, I'm glad I got surgery and not cottage cheese. So I've never had surgery. People ask where I've gotten my nose done, and it's real. So I'm sorry. But I want to tell you about the weirdest thing that I ever found. I was at home in Alaska, where I'm from, and I was out with my little sisters in the woods. And we're exploring my dad's gold mine. He's like the largest landowner in Alaska and stuff. So we're out there and we find this boot. And my sister picks it up and she's like shaking it around. And then she dumps it out. And there's, you'll never guess what's inside. There's a foot. There are bones to a foot inside of the boot. And I don't know how it got there. And nobody reported it. We called the Alaska State Troopers. They're like, yeah, no one's reported a missing foot. And it had to be there for like 80 years. And so we put it back. But my guess is like somebody back in the day got stuck in a bear trap and then had to saw his leg off. And he just left his foot there.
Lauren Reeves, you guys. Lauren Reeves.
I mean.
Wow. How about that story, Danny?
I mean, so it's weird because On my family gold mine, we
can I just say that is the most stereotypical job in Alaska.
I know. I'm just like another gold mine story.
So my father, the polar bear hunter.
Yeah, yeah. It's he hurt himself making an igloo. Wow, I thought that's. I mean,
where was the surgery? Was there actually?
That's where I was going. I thought, no, truly, I think you're right. I thought like it was an artful way, as someone who hasn't had surgery that we know of, and whatever. Nor have I. These are real. I thought it was an artful way. You immediately surgery. I don't have surgery. 80 years ago, a guy severed his foot. That's sort of surgical. I'll tell a story. Points.
Thank you.
As the Thank once you. Disgraced, now undisgraced Chris Hardwick would say.
He was cleared. He was cleared.
Okay, Jenny, what do you think?
You buried about three leads.
I know.
It went from gold mine. I was like, well, I have more questions about that. Okay, first off, you found a boot with bones in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our sympathies to your father's worker who they never found.
So this is like the OG 127 hours. Like this is the original person they did that shit. Did they ever like find out whose fucking foot it was?
No, we just put the boot back because we're like, I don't know, I don't want to take it.
I like the state troopers are like, nobody's called in about this.
We haven't had anything about an Amber Alert of a missing foot.
Maybe he just wanted to get rid of that foot, you know.
Have you ever been to Alaska, Jenny?
I have not.
Diallo, have you?
Okay, fun fact, my wife, who's sitting at the bar over there, is from Juneau, Alaska.
What? No kidding.
So
where's Brittany?
Brittany, shout out to Brittany at the bar.
Wow.
Okay, so what city in Alaska?
Fairbanks, which is the middle of Alaska.
That's like that's like when you're like, oh, I'm from South LA, South Central LA. Where are you from? Compton, oof. Fairbanks is like, oof, Alaska.
Yeah. Well, okay. Juneau's like Seattle, basically.
Yeah.
Juneau's nice,
interesting. All right, you guys. Lauren Reeves, let her hear it.
Good job, Lauren.
All right. That was a good story, yeah?
They've all been good stories. This has been an amazing start.
So far, so good.
Yes.
1 minute story is challenging. We're just getting to know these people. And right now, coming to the stage, it's our audience member, you guys. Jim Coughlin, he's going to hand you the the can. Danny Zucker, who's playing the game tonight?
I'm going to tell you right now. I would like to see Erica Bloomfield.
Tell her what to do.
Yeah. Pets. She likes it. She likes it.
So when I was growing up, we had a psycho dog named Spike. He was an English bulldog. We had to line up against the wall by the exit of the house, and my mother would go to the refrigerator and grab a hunk of liverwurst, and then she would throw it across the kitchen, and the dog would start running like... And then he'd slide because it was hardwood floors. And then he'd see us trying to get out. And he'd whip his head around. And then he'd come running back. Oh, my God. And I have anxiety now. I don't know why. I always did. But they send him to a therapist before me.
Ah, Erica Blumfield. Erica Blumfield, that was a great story.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just a personal taste thing, I like someone who comes up to the mic and tells a story with a certain degree of enthusiasm. So I had to take... I had to take points off for that.
Oh, Danny.
Now, that was amazing. Honestly, the last schmo we had come up from the audience. I mean, now we can be honest, because you nailed it. That was great. What a good story.
Jenny, what do you have to say?
I have to say, you make my stand-up look so boring. Like, if I'm like, hey, what's up, everybody? Yeah, you just made me look like shit. So.
Do you have any pets, Jenny?
Do I have any? Yes, I do.
What do you have?
I have a basset named Dewey. Lyndon Dewey Johnson. Thank you very much.
And what does he run like?
He looks stupid. He looks
like that?
Dumb. Yeah. Falls a lot. I had Lady Bird Johnson before, and she was a basset.
Interesting.
Didn't look super cool.
Interesting. Diallo.
Lyndon Dewey Johnson.
Yeah, because I had Lady Bird Johnson first, so...
I like when history gets involved.
We'll learn Johnson, a little something.
I just really like sitting at the vet clinic because I'm going, Lady Bird Johnson. I'm like, she's right here.
I named my cat Hitler.
Sorry.
I liked your space work. You know, like I thought.
Oh, you okay? Okay, she's got it.
And it continues. I just think everything you do is dynamic.
Yeah, there's not even a step there.
And wonderful.
Which is interesting.
Kudos to you. And by the way, my wife's favorite dog, English Bulldog. So, Brittany, I don't know. You're manifesting something on the stage.
Erica Blumfield, you guys. Erica Blumfield. All right. And to wrap up this round, it's another true story coming from Carlos Kotkin. And he is a multiple Moth Story Slam winner. And he wrote the animated feature film Star and Rio 2 and also the dating memoir, Please God, Let It Be Herpes. I read that book. It's very good. You can find this guy over on Twitter at Carlos Kotkin. You guys, put your hands together for Carlos Kotkin. Oh, there he is. Hi. There you are. All right, you guys, let him hear it.
Good. Cottage cheese. Oh.
Vacation.
Am I doing
that?
You weren't on her vacation, were you?
No.
Were you abducted?
No.
Okay, good. So you could do your own vacation story. Yeah.
Okay. One time I went to the most romantic destination on the planet, Bora Bora, with my parents. when I was 25 for their 25th wedding anniversary, and we shared a room, and none of us got any action. But we did go out and feed sharks because my dad was all about that. We're going to feed sharks. And he gets up. We get us at 7 in the morning. We get in this boat. A bunch of other people. The guide throws bloody chum in the water. All these sharks show up. And he says, dive in. Jump in. And everybody does. So I do too, stupidly. And there's all these sharks swimming all around you. And the guide tells you, don't swim in the chum because you might get mistaken for chum. So I didn't. And then one shark swam right by me close enough that I reached out kind of to protect myself, and I touched it, and sharks feel like sandpaper. Thank you.
Wow. How about that? What do you think, Danny?
I mean, I was in Bora Bora, and I did that shark feeding thing. Truly, I did. And they line that rope, and you hold onto that rope, and there's chum all around you. And I lasted about a minute.
Seriously?
Yeah. I was hoping See, the reason I don't tell, but the one thing I will say is if you notice the reaction to that story I just told, there was pretty much nothing because it didn't build anything. So I kind of wish your story ended with at least a missing toe. I'm sorry.
Just for the sake of entertaining.
Just for the sake of entertaining. No one would ever challenge you.
Damn it, Danny, how many sharks did you see?
I think
why are you looking at me?
It was on our honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think zoologically it's called a shit ton.
A shit ton, that's the accurate.
A shit ton of sharks. Terrifying. I will never do it again.
And what kind of sharks are they?
Reef
sharks.
White tip reef sharks. Okay. Right?
They can kill you.
They can kill you.
If they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could.
Their heart has to be in it.
Jenny, what did you think of the story?
I enjoyed it. I have never done that before, nor would I ever. Only thing I ever did was feed stingrays in Grand Cayman, but I did it the week after the crocodile hunter died.
Oh.
And that's a big business in Grand Cayman. I was the only fucking person there.
Yeah.
I got like a 2-for-1 coupon. Like nobody wanted to feed these things. But even then, I was still like, it panicked me. So I can't even imagine jumping in the water.
With sharks. With yeah. Sharks. Yeah. Yes. Diallo, what'd you think of that story?
I could relate to it. Last year of college, spring break, me and my best friend decided we were not going to go to all the traditional destinations, but we didn't do a whole lot of research. So we ended up in Maui for spring break. And we were like, yeah, we're going to go to Maui. We're going to have a great time. And it was so romantic.
Yeah,
like, it was so romantic there. Yeah. We spent all of our evenings at Senior Frogs and like, you know, the locals trying to pick fights with us. Like, they're like, oh, you guys are from the mainland. Like, it was gnarly. And it was so romantic. It was just like, you know, you can't go to Maui in the off season with your best friend.
That's Carlos wants to add something.
I just want to say, because you said that, the second time I went to Bora Bora with was my college roommate, Ben, and everybody thought we were married. And we went to this romantic restaurant. We brought cushions from our room because I remembered from when I went with my parents that the seats were very uncomfortable. And the waitress looked at us and was confused. And I said, oh, we just want to be comfortable. She said, we. You take rest from too much loving.
That
was a great coda, Carlos.
Yeah, how about that? All right, you guys, so we're going to move on right now to our second round, which is double the fun. Look at these guys, very busy taking notes. Yeah. You're all being very accurate. Okay, good to see.
I normally, at least half of these people suck, so it's a lot easier, but this is amazing.
Coming to the stage right now to tell a true 2-minute story is our audience member, Erica Blumfield. Woo! Erica Blumfield, here she comes right now. Let her hear it, guys.
That feel.
Oh, that's a nice spin. Vacation again.
Oh, God, I hope Spike was there.
Okay. So, my parents, the very privileged Jewish upper class parents with everything who vacationed, you know, at resorts where everything was done for them, decided I disowned them pretty much and started making my own money because they're horrible. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, they decided that they were going to rough it and they rented a house in Vermont. And I was like in between, I was like leaving New York to go down to Louisville for a year for an acting thing, which was fun. And so I was stuck with them. Like I had to go live with them again. You know, I was like 21. So they decide they want to go canoeing. And we get in the boat and we're going in circles and they won't listen to me because they're just paddling and like we're going around in circles and I'm like, just stop. And then out of nowhere we came upon rapids and the boat capsized and my father screaming, where the fuck's your mother? Where the fuck's your mother? And I'm like, shit, because she doesn't know how to swim. And I all of a sudden we hear, I'm over here. I saved the Havanas and the wraps. So my dad was going to be able to smoke his Havana cigars that he had smuggled in and still eat his fancy wraps on our canoe trip that had like blue cheese and dried cranberries and walnuts and some endive and arugula. And then the next day, I couldn't move my arms. Anyway, that was what happened.
Erica Blumfield, Diallo, what's the big smile?
I thought in my head, Raps was like some really cool, you know, nickname for rapids. Like, so when she said it was actually Raps, I was like, oh, that's cool too. Oh,
like we came on some mad Raps. Like,
I think we were all waiting for, oh, that would have been good too. I saved the Raps. she was a freestyler. I was looking for some amazing space work again, and as soon as you said canoes, I was like, I'm going to see some canoes. So
that you literally was did look at me and go, I was like, wait for the space work. About to happen.
So that's your thing now. Like we are Hollywood. We have typecast you as the space work person. So there you go, Erica.
Yes. All right, Jenny.
I loved it. I just like the idea in my head. I'm just trying to picture your uppity Jewish parents in a canoe and that your mom only saved cigars and wraps. I mean, that seems like if my mother would actually get in the water, that would be what she would do. Yeah, but she would care more about her hair. But yeah. That would
Jenny,
be
have favorite. You ever gone on vacation with your parents? I mean, as an adult.
As an adult, no. Yeah. No.
It wouldn't be a vacation.
No, they would not want me there. I mean, besides the fact that my dad's dead now. Remember that?
Right, that's
I would
right.
love to go on vacation with my parents.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks for bringing that. Thanks for bringing that up.
My dad never threw a ball with me.
Yeah.
I'd like to just visit him.
No, but no. When my dad was still alive, no, there was no way. If they went to something, the,
yeah, your mom's I would still be alive? The.
She is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's lucky.
We'll call her after this, and you can. You won't
Danny.
Feel bad.
Here's the thing. So, as the only Jew on the stage, I know that's a huge surprise. I look like a Nazi propaganda poster, don't I?
I look like Hitler's wet dream.
But I felt like I was glad to hear the story. It made me laugh. But I think if like we were telling that to Trump's America right now, it would be the worst thing to happen to our people since Kristallnacht. Because they would have been very anti. That died. I had that joke worked out. And here's the thing. You learn more from a joke that doesn't work than a joke that does work.
If you did like Vermont Strong.
You keep telling yourself
that.
Yeah,
if I did Vermont Strong,
Vermont
it would
Strong
have been.
Hashtag.
But I loved it. I mean, God bless you. That was exactly how my mother would have been. And my mother is currently on vacation with my two adult sisters and was like, and I could not be happier that I am not there.
Yeah. Let her hear it. I thought her mother sounded like Edith Bunker a little bit. Coming to the stage right now to tell a true two-minute story is Kevin Avery. Kevin Avery, come on up. Woo. Here he comes to the stage right now, Kevin Avery. You guys tell him what to do.
I thought I was going to spin it softer this time.
No, that was good.
That was all right.
All right, you guys.
Oh,
it's another audience suggestion. Throw out some audience suggestions. And again, our judges will choose one of those. Sports, what else? Pizza, cars. What? Food poisoning. Drinking.
Okay, that's a lot.
Can I pick one?
What do you guys think? What do you want to hear?
Food poisoning was funny.
Food poisoning.
Yeah.
I think most everybody has had that experience.
Yes, yeah. Everybody except... I mean, really, any great storyteller has an amazing food poisoning story. So
really?
Go, Kevin.
Oh, okay, by the way,
goddamn.
That's
and for
unfair.
2 minutes.
Wow. I want to make sure. Is anyone in here eating?
It's the low-lying fruit. Oh, yeah,
that was fucked right, up what you go. Just did there.
No, I was really mean.
No, I don't know how to... I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm an adult, but I still don't know when to throw food out of my refrigerator. So I still regularly call home... to ask my parents if, you know, hey, I got a honey glazed ham that I got that went up with Sputnik in 69, you know, like, but the wrapper's still on it. Is it still good today? And so I remember as a child eating bad spaghetti, and that put me down for a while. I've imprinted all these foods that I shouldn't eat. But the most recent one was bad potato salad. Ooh. Yeah, I feel like you should just know. Yeah. With potato salad, you don't fuck around. It had been in the refrigerator Keep in mind, you asked for this story. I don't. This is what this is. I ate bad potato salad, and I remember having to call an ex-girlfriend to come over, and just like while I laid in, just watch me just go. That's all I did. I didn't really throw up, or my stomach just hurt for days, and this woman is like, we're not even dating anymore. Just sort of sat there, like, I guess I just pet him. I don't know what the fuck to do. I don't. The last experience I think my over time though my stomach has gotten so strong that I went to a party once where everyone got food poisoning except for me, and that was bad news as far as that was my stomach saying fuck it, we're just this isn't real anymore. We've just put up aluminum siding and plastic, and you're probably gonna die in about 60 days. That's got to be 2 minutes, right?
Yeah. Kevin Avery, he talked a lot about food poisoning. Yeah, big round of applause. That was great.
I think that was a hard one to pick. I think food poisoning would be difficult unless you had like something. I mean, that's not easy. But the thing that amazed me, and just I'm wondering, just this is a fact of my own personality, yeah. is that you have an ex-girlfriend. Who would you must be the greatest man in the world?
And why aren't you with her?
Like honestly, I could.
It's like food poisoning. Like, I'm on my way.
No, it's food poisoning. Exactly. Like I could be dying, and she could be the only marrow transplant that would save me, and she would say, "Fuck that guy."
Yeah, I weirdly this ex has shown up a couple of times when I've had a medical emergency, and I was in a car accident with the LAPD once. And I hit my head.
Don't tell that story.
And my friend's like, well, you shouldn't be alone. You should, you know, don't go to sleep or you might have a concussion. And so I called her. I was like, could you just come over and spend the night in case I don't wake up in the morning? Which is a weird thing to ask someone. Like, could you just be here with my corpse in the morning when the sun rises? But she came over and just hung out.
That's mad game. I'm just going to say it.
But I was going to say, she sounds like a fucking angel.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I that she's come over multiple times. You may want to think about...
She's married with children now.
Does she still come over, though? If shit goes wrong?
I'll give her a call.
Yeah, is it serious?
Like, if you turned your ankle, who would you call tonight?
I would still call her.
You still call? Okay, that's what I meant.
Diallo, what do you think about that? You got a friend like that?
An ex-friend? Yeah. Not really.
Somebody who will hold your head when you're vomiting.
Well, my wife's the greatest. Give it up for wives.
Everybody. Yeah, Brittany from Juneau.
I just want to point out that I had food poisoning and not quite the same situation, but the only person who offered to come over to help was my cousin's ex-wife. So I got food poisoning at Jerry's Deli, which was down the street from here, and it's my own fault because I ordered the Cajun fish. I don't know why I ordered Cajun fish from Jerry's.
That is the least Jewish thing I've ever heard.
I was like, oh, they have Cajun fish here? Yes, Cajun catfish, I'll do it. And I was dying the next night, and the only person who came over was my cousin's ex-wife. I barely know the cousin. And she came over, she wanted to talk about him, and I was like, I'm dying.
How'd she know?
Was she like a nurse or something? Doctor?
No, she was like a school teacher.
Oh, Jesus.
They got married again lately.
How did
so
she find
I know
out?
Better, but at the time, I barely knew the... What?
How did she find out?
Word of my family spreads quick. It's okay. Just everybody was...
DMZ.
Anyway.
Let him hear it. Kevin Avery. That was a great story.
He's amazing.
Especially for an audience
suggestion.
That guy's
amazing. I'm just going
to
say it.
All right. Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is Carlos Kotkin. Carlos. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
Bend that wheel.
I don't even think I need the sign anymore. School days.
One day, eighth grade, I was the star student. I aced every Friday. We had a history test in Ms. Samard's class. Aced it every Friday, finished it before anybody else in the class. And then Ms. Samard would give me all of the tests to correct and grade and put the grades in the record book, in the grade book, while she read a magazine in the other corner. She sucked as a teacher. So one morning in homeroom, Vince Granata gets the test. I don't know how he got it, but he gets it, and he passes it around in homeroom like a joint, and everybody's remembering the answers. Cabba Badak, I remember, it was multiple choice. And I thought, I don't need to remember this, but I'll take a break. I'll take a break and I'll remember this. And we go and take the test and I just write Kababatak. Don't look at the questions. Turn it in. Hear whispering around me after I turn it in. It's a different test. And I get everything wrong except for one answer. And the teacher still gives me everybody's test to correct despite this. And as I look through it, I see that about 8 or 9 of us have the exact same wrong answers. So I've thought, well, I can either just go tell her right now what happened, or I can correct everybody's answers and change the test, and everybody's passed except for me. And I turned it in, and I felt horribly guilty. And I wanted to tell her all day, but Vince said, if you tell her, you're going to ruin lives. So I went home, and I collapsed on the couch. My dad gets home, and he says, what happened to you? And I just start crying, and I tell him what happened. And he said, well, I can't punish you any worse than you've already punished yourself. So when your mom gets home, we'll go out and have dinner and celebrate the fact that you've done something horrible. And that's what we did. We had a nice Mexican dinner, and then they bought me some music, some CDs at the time, and it all worked out.
Wow. Diallo, why do you look confused?
I feel like that's the pilot episode. I mean, like, everything happened in such a perfectly TV way. Like, where did you grow up?
San Diego.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, that's a heart. That story is both funny and has heart. I'd say write it tomorrow.
Yeah, it really did. Jenny?
I think it's a great story. I actually remember having a health teacher when I was in high school tell me that I could put the test. I gave myself 100. I didn't even turn the test in for me. I just gave everyone that I liked 100, and then I just would fail other people. Because my teacher would be like at Shipley's Donuts getting, like, he wouldn't even come up.
Why did he trust you?
I have no fucking idea. I have no clue.
And how long did this relationship go on?
The whole school year.
Yeah. What grade was that?
It was my junior year of high school.
Wow. Yeah. You were like 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys
had a lot of power.
You guys weren't doing anything on the side or anything. That wasn't
No.
Creepy.
I couldn't understand it. Why that I was trusted. But
well, you're special.
And then inevitably everyone figured it out. And so then I started giving everyone hundreds and everyone aced it. Yeah.
Danny.
I mean, that story was sort of, I liked it, but it was kind of like a dull version of Donnie Brasco. If you think about it, because you were like dull Donnie Brasco. You were, is that not a reference people get?
I got it.
I knew what you were talking about.
God damn it. I am so fucking old. It is retarded. No, you can't even say that. That's how old I am.
No. Yeah.
I almost said retarded.
Can't say that.
As
can't
old.
Say that. You can't
how
say that.
Gay. No, I can't even do that.
You can't say that.
No, it's terrible. You are a funny motherfucker. Like, I love your delivery.
Yeah,
and I think that was... And I also love, in both of these stories, you hit the topic, and it was a microsecond before you launched in. It was like, school days. Okay, so I used to... It was just that fast.
Wow.
Amazing.
Danny, that's great. Going in for the details. I love it. Coming to the stage right now, moving right along, for a true two-minute story is Lauren Reeves. Lauren!
There's two Jews on stage now.
Yay! Sucking up.
School days. Again, how about that?
Okay. School days.
So I was on my uncle's diamond mine.
You guys probably look at me and think, that girl does cocaine. Do you think that?
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, people would probably, it's LA, I'm blonde, maybe it looks like I do coke. But I only did coke one time, and that was in 9th grade, and I was tricked by the basketball team into doing coke. So I was on the volleyball team, and I'm waiting for my mom to pick me up after school. And I'm standing out in this, like, waiting area. And these girls from the basketball team, there's three of them, Krista, Alexis, and Jessica. And they were like, hey, Lauren, come smell this mirror.
No way.
Yeah, they said, Lauren, come smell this mirror. And it was a little, like, makeup compact. And I was like, yeah, what's the harm in smelling a mirror? probably smells good if they're asking me to do it. So I take the mirror and I give it a good whiff. And I started to feel really funny. And they go, you can have it. You can have the mirror. And I was like, God, you guys are so generous. Like, I thought you hated me. And so I'm standing there waiting, and one of those canine dogs, I see him circling the building, like a police dog with the cop, and they're circling the building. And then my mom is outside waiting for me, so I was like, well, thanks for the mirror, I gotta go. And I felt really funny, and then it took me probably 15 years to realize they had me do coke so they wouldn't get busted with it on them by the police dog.
Lauren Reeves, wow.
Wow,
that is a crazy, crazy school, right? Danny.
Relatable, too. I mean, I was tricked. I was tricked into doing cocaine once for the entire 90s. And I mean, it was horrible. And I only came to realize that when my nose
collapsed.
You just
wanted to be popular.
Yeah, I just wanted to be popular. I feel, you know, but when I was doing cocaine in the 90s and smoking, I never got carded. To this day, I still don't get carded if I'm smoking. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm on a tangent. I'm still recovering from an earlier joke, the Kristallnacht joke. I can't get over it.
The one that didn't work.
Yeah, the one that died.
Bad. Jenny.
Okay, please tell me the basketball team's name again. What were the girls' names?
Oh,
Krista,
Alexis, and Jessica.
Okay, those were not on my basketball team in Houston. No,
well, it was the last guy.
That's what, you know? That's what made me laugh the hardest. So Alexis.
Diallo.
Wait, they ask you to smell a mirror. At any point when you got picked up, did you start feeling like, wow, I could fucking power wash my house?
I felt amazing. I was like, I've never felt this way before, but I didn't know. I thought maybe it was the friendship. I was like, they're offering
friendship. You were just having like this euphoria from like meeting new people. Like, you just
kind of.
Like,
I mean, I knew them, but I was like, they're being so nice to me. They're giving me something.
Diallo.
There's some things about this story that I have questions. Not saying that you made yourself look really innocent, but they said smell the mirror.
Yeah.
So if I was like, smell my food, you'd put a straw next to my food and snort it up. I'm trying to figure out how this worked.
No, there was definitely white powder on the mirror.
Yeah.
And I just gave it a good
So you didn't even have
smell.
A straw?
No, I had nothing. I just kind of like...
You just Scarface.
That was the only time I've done coke, so I don't know what to compare it to.
Bullshit.
But, no, that's true.
Just another question, man.
No, that's fine.
I just want
to point out that the Carlos in the eighth grade, her in the ninth grade, two totally different stories.
Different stories.
Not even that far apart.
Different people. Lauren Reeves, you guys.
They had different experiences.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. I don't grow up so fast.
And there's only one more name for the 2-minute round, and that person coming to the stage right now is Kristen Carney. Put your hands together for Kristen Carney.
Spin that wheel.
Wheel of Fortune. You guys recognize me with my jacket on? I don't know if...
Yeah, it was
okay,
cool.
Right, good.
It's like a Diana Ross concert. You know, just Diana Ross just changing outfits. It's an old joke. God, I got to come up with new references. Hooking
right.
up.
Oh, God damn it.
Hooking up.
I had hooking up the last time I was on the show, and so now I'm just going to sound like a huge whore.
Yeah.
I mean, I am one, so it's hard to not sound like one.
Go with God.
Go with what you know.
Okay, so... and I know whoring. Okay, so no, actually, I didn't lose my virginity until I was like 25 years old. I was a huge nerd. no, I just was ugly. I wasn't a nerd. No one would sleep with me. But I ended up in an 8-year relationship for all of my 20s. So when we broke up, I was like, okay, now I'm going to be a whore. Because I had never had sex with anyone but my boyfriend. So the first date I had was through Bumble, of course, because I'm classy. Tinder's for trashy. Okay. So I go out with this guy named Ben. And he was really cute, and I had like not had a crush on anyone in 8 years because I was with a boyfriend, and I didn't have a crush on him. Like I was asexual throughout the entire relationship. And this kid Ben was really cute, and I was like, "Whoa, I think I'll have sex. Like, I think I could do this. I think I could." So I got really drunk, and because how else do you do it? And we went. We had fun. We went to like bar to bar to bar, and he was like, you know, aware that this girl is gonna give it up. Like he just knew it. But I had never left. I'd never hooked up with anyone in my life, and so I said, "I have to have my dog. We have to go get my dog." So we drove all the way from wherever we were back to my apartment to get my dog to go to his apartment. So I get my dog. He does not like dogs on his bed. He's got a, and he's just—he was an asshole. You know, like you judge someone either by if they watch Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy,
totally,
or if they want a dog on their bed. He didn't want a dog on his bed, so he had me, which was so weird because clearly I'm a dog, and my dog. So two dogs in one night. So then, I actually he was terrible, but I ended up going back to his place like a week later. So my dog peed in his apartment. When I went there the next time, I got blood on his bed because I cut myself shaving to hook up with him, and here's the scar.
All right. Kristen Garney.
Damn. Wow.
Shaving scar.
Yeah,
everybody.
She's not kidding.
But that was the only time I hooked up with anyone ever. Like legitimately.
Well, the night is young.
Yes.
Did he complain about the dog?
Anybody?
About the dog prior to climaxing or post-climaxing?
Post.
Yes, exactly.
It's a good question.
Because anything, it's like, oh, yeah.
I love dogs. Oh, I love them.
I pretended to like camping for like 3 years. Right. I get it.
Diallo.
Do anything for sex, you men.
I feel, you know, one person never, oh. One person, hi. One person really didn't do coke. One person waited until they were 25 to lose their virginity. I'm a degenerate, apparently. Like, how was I raised, you know? Maybe that's why my parents aren't here now.
Maybe that's why. Maybe
so. Thank God. But no, thanks.
I love the aww.
John, Carmen, you hear that? I have nothing else to say. Look, Ben sounds like a jerk. I'm glad you let him go. So, there you go.
Yeah. Jenny.
Loved it. Loved all of it. You shouldn't say that you're a dog thing because you're not. I don't know what you look like.
I'm
then.
Kidding. No, well, yeah, you should have seen
no,
me
you're
as
kind
a kid,
of
though.
Violently
it's stuck
cute,
in my head.
So
oh, thank
everyone
you.
Else is looking like she's fucking not a dog. Right? Don't say that. But, okay, by the way, so was your dog on the floor while, or was the dog in the bed whilst, was it a
in
weird
the bed,
three-way?
Right?
He was on the floor during the activity.
Mm. Was he?
He slept in the bed overnight.
But was there eye contact made?
Probably.
From the dog?
Knowing my dog, yes.
Yeah. But did you but make it back? Like, did you make eye contact with your dog during?
Every time I come, I have to.
Oh.
God bless you.
Wow.
God bless you.
Yeah, and also,
that's just want to know that.
Also, by the way.
Don't make it weird, y'all. Don't make it weird.
Fuck Ben Affleck. I'm honestly, this is not the first time I've heard this story about him.
Letter here, Kristen Carney. Now, our three judges have the very, very difficult job of choosing only two storytellers to go into this jar. And this isn't going to be easy because everybody's so good. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. And here they go. They're going to be judging. And in the meantime, I want you guys to give it up for Richard in the back on sound. Oh, really? Yay, Richard. Julie, thank you so much at the bar. Give it up for Julie. And George Fenella's over here helping out. Jim Coughlin is somewhere. Come on, you guys, give him a round of applause. Clapping is free, you know that. And a big round of applause to my co-producer, John Cohen. He is here, John Cohen. Happy anniversary. I'm not gonna kiss you, but I thought about it. And, okay, these guys are almost done. I also want to mention that we're going to be back here at the Hollywood Improv on Saturday, August 25th, so come and see us then. And actually, I have to say, over the last 12 months, we've had some amazing talents on this show, and I just wanted to mention some of the expert judges we've had, including Wayne Fetterman, Jimmy Pardo, Heather McDonald, Gina Grad. Last month, Larry King was here. I know, right? Wendy McClendon Covey has been here. A lot of great writers from Seinfeld, like Peter Melman, Spike Ferriston. And anyway, so some just fantastic talent. So it's just a great opportunity to come down and hear some good comedy. So we really appreciate you guys coming down. And come next month. Would you do that? Yes? Maybe? Do you want to know what your first anniversary present is? Well, you're going to have to hang on. Do you have two names to put into this jar, Jenny?
Yes. How many times have I done this show?
I know. 7 or 8.
Okay. No doubt this was the toughest one.
Yeah. No There's a doubt. Lot of talent.
No, and I'm not, like, normally I make, like, a big joke and stuff. But yeah, yeah, but no. I mean, I don't agree with the people we picked.
Yeah.
at all. These were not my choices.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah, yeah, but still, this was super hard.
Coming to the stage right now for a true 3-minute story is Carlos Kotkin. And tell him what to do. Food.
Okay.
There it is.
I went to USC to the film school. I made a student film, and the topic had to be caring, and we had to interpret that any way we wanted to. And so I decided I would go to San Diego, where I'm from, and I would film my friend from high school, Justin, feeding a live rabbit to his beloved pet python, Butch, because he cared for Butch, so that was how he cared for it. And so I don't have anything against rabbits. I thought this would be different. I thought other movies would be, you know, father, son playing catch, and that kind of thing. So I called Justin, I said, I want to film you feeding. He said, great, yeah, that's great. And he talked to Butch. I could hear, Butch, you're going to be in the movies. And he would sleep with Butch. Butch weighed 100 pounds. He was very excited, and he said, Butch hadn't eaten in a month. This is perfect. Go down to San Diego. He said, I couldn't get any rabbits. Bad news. Couldn't get any rabbits from my rabbit supplier, whoever that was. So we called around to the pet stores, couldn't find any rabbits. And then the movie gods on the cover of the local paper, the Daily Californian, Friday, every Friday they would put a picture of the pet of the week. And it was usually a cat or a dog, but this particular pet of the week was Benjamin the Bunny. And Justin was overjoyed, but he looked like a satanic worshiper. So I had to go down and interview at the animal shelter. And I remember the lady was like a sweet little librarian type. And I remember her asking me, you're going to feed Butch, right? And I said, yes, I'm definitely going to feed him. Parentheses to Butch. I felt horrible, but, you know, Butch had to eat and my movie was due. And so we get there and we're about to put Butch in the tank. And then I said, Justin, I can't do this because I'm his legal guardian and this is not. And we got in a debate about the circle of life, and I lost the debate. We dropped Butch, Benjamin in with Butch, and Butch comes out and smells him, and I guess Benjamin, because he was domestic, didn't have any fear, gets right in his face so aggressively that Butch recoils, goes back to his corner, gets back in his little circle, and doesn't touch Benjamin. And I brought him back to the shelter and said, he bites. I don't want to. I can't.
Wow.
Carlos Kotkin.
You're amazing, dude. That's like, you're a Rain Man type storyteller. Like, you are...
What a compliment.
A fucking freak. I mean...
And legitimate suspense.
Yeah. That had three-act structure.
There were some gasps in the audience.
It was, the filmmaking book, I'm sure everybody in here has heard that, Save the Cat, right? You know that... No? Does everybody know that? Yeah, right? Yeah. That was Save the Rabbit. That was, like, fucking great.
Yeah. Now, I will point out, he went to 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and it was a 3-minute story. I'm just saying.
Oh, I didn't know that. Get off my fucking stage.
Diallo, what did you think?
No, I already said it. I thought the suspense was amazing. I was, you know, definitely scared that, like, you were a monster at one point. I thought the narrator was a terrible person. But you brought it back home, man. I loved it.
Amazing. That. Jenny.
I love the whole story beginning to end. I thought it was hilarious. I like that you just had that locked and loaded when you hit
food. Yeah, that's good, huh?
You went to feed a rabbit to a python. Like, food, that's right what went in your brain.
And I just want to piggyback. I want to piggyback on Diallo just for a second, because you really could, like, I don't know you, you could have been a terrible person.
Oh, if the rabbit died, I would have been like, this dude lost.
Can I just point out
I'm not voting for that.
Wait a minute, can I point out, this doesn't have to be a true story. No one's fact-checked this.
No, it's true.
he could have a video of that rabbit just getting demolished. Right. Like,
it's true, the rabbit survived.
Yeah. Thanks, Carlos.
Tequila and water, Carlos Kotkin. Diallo Riddle. Jenny Johnson. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now. This is the final contestant of the night, and it's very exciting. Telling a true 3-minute story is Lauren Reeves. Boy, I gotta tell you, Lauren Reeves, you know, she won this thing last month, so we're very excited to have her again. Tell her what to do.
I just want to point out that Danny told me before he doesn't vote for people twice.
Yeah. I didn't even vote for you this far.
Danny says, Danny says a lot of shit.
I talk a lot of shit.
He was talking a lot of shit to me.
I was just trying to get in your head.
Yeah. You did a little bit. It's like, it's okay.
What was that movie about the drummer?
Whiplash.
Whiplash. I'm sort of like a whiplash for comedy people.
I love it. Okay. Do I say the topic? I'll say the topic. You guys, I have Drunk Tank.
Drunk Tank.
Now, a lot of you think I probably drink, and I do.
I wish it was Coke Tank.
Coke Tank. Finally, my cottage cheese story. Drunk Tank. So, I want to tell you about the drunkest I've ever been in my entire life. And I drink a lot. I'll drink like... I mean, I used to drink like a bottle of gin after this breakup. I would drink a bottle of gin and not remember anything and wake up feeling like shit the next morning. I did that for a couple months. That was bad. But the drunkest I've ever been was when I was a teenager and I was in high school up in Alaska. And I'm sitting there playing a drinking game. I'm like throwing, I don't even know what game it was. I'm just throwing back shots. I don't know what I'm drinking. And suddenly this girl comes in and she sees me sitting at a table with like five guys. She's like, I'm going to fight you. And I didn't know this girl. And I was like, I don't want to fight you. I'm not a fighter. I'm just drinking. And so I stand up. And I just immediately fall back down because I didn't realize how drunk I was. I was really drunk. And my ex-boyfriend was at the party, and he picked me up and took me out to his Ford Explorer. It was a 1995 Ford Explorer. I actually got it. He got a DUI, so I got to keep it for like 3 months when I didn't have a car. And so we're out in his Ford Explorer, and I just start making out with him. I swear it wasn't the other way around. I was trying to make out with him. I really was. And I got so sick that I just started throwing up all over him. And so he gets out of the car and he runs around to the other side and he opens my door. And I was like, bye-bye. And I fell out and I rolled down a hill. And I just laid there. And he was like a professional snowboarder. And he's like... he ran after me down. He ran after me down the hill, and I was like, "Just leave me here. I'm fine." And he's like, "I gotta go get your friends. You gotta go. You gotta go home." And so he leaves me at the bottom of the hill. He runs back up. He gets my friends out of the house party, and they put me in the back seat of my friend Allie's Jeep. And we had to drop our friend Kendall off at home. She lived on the military base, and so we're driving to the military base. I'm laid out in the back seat of the car, and I open the door just as we're passing the military police, and I just am vomiting everywhere, and I'm watching like the snow underneath the car, and they let us go, even though I was clearly intoxicated and like 17, 18, and there because my friend Kendall, her dad was like a big deal in the military, so they let us go, and I got home free.
Yeah. Okay, look at that time, 3:02. Great job, Lauren Reeves. Let her hear it.
On the nose.
Wow. That was crazy. 17 years old. Jenny.
I just can't. The names are so white. It's my favorite thing ever. Very white. It's like Allie and Kendall. And
Krista,
Alexis.
Jessica.
It's so Alaska.
You have to do like Jessica R. and Jessica T.
Yeah, that's
Kendall
what it was.
M. All right.
Kendall M.
It's fucking Little Women.
Where was
that's
Madison?
That's how white you are.
Where was Madison? I know she was somewhere. Madison. There had to have been
you
a Madison
what? I
somewhere.
Actually named my dog Madison.
Because you felt like there was a niche.
No, I actually named him that because I was like, one day I'm going to move to New York City, and I named him after like Madison Avenue. Madison.
Oh,
yeah,
like Splash.
So it wasn't like a white thing. It was like a New
you
York.
You named
City
him after
thing.
The least cool street in all of Manhattan.
I didn't know until I moved there.
Houston would have been cooler.
Wow, what an edgy street.
Oh, Madison.
Bullets well.
Hello.
This close to being
Lexington Street or Mott, but no.
Don't go out after dark.
All right, Diallo.
Lauren, I love the details in your stories. I love the 1995 Ford Explorer. I kind of want to ask if it was the Eddie Bauer edition, because that was a thing.
It actually was.
Oh, that was cool.
That was
cool
a thing
vehicle.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Like,
that was
a big deal.
If you could have the Eddie Bauer edition, which just basically meant it had tan leather inside.
Yeah, it kicked it up a notch, though.
It kicked it up a notch. Drunkest ever been. I love the fact that you actually remember the story, because most people, the drunkest ever been.
Yeah, how did you remember?
That's when you call people the next day and you're like, hey, it was fun, right? Everybody's having a good time, right?
Why is my ass bleeding? No, we can cut that out. We'll edit that.
There's just so many Alaskan stereotypes in your story that I just, I love the fact you fell down a hill and your professional snowboarder boyfriend had to rescue you with the help of two black bears. Like, it's just great. It's really
funny. All right, Danny?
No. It's like, has anybody watched The Terror on AMC? It was sort of like a less scary version of that. Mm. Man, I'm dying with these.
No, Terror was great.
Has anyone watched AMC?
People slept on The Terror.
God damn it.
Great reference.
Your side trips in your story are more interesting than most network dramas. I'm just like whether it's the gold mine or my snowboarder boyfriend or he's a bigwig in the military. Like nothing.
Kendall's dad. Yeah, it was Kendall's dad.
There is
who's clearly drilling an Anwar.
It isn't. It's like some. Fucked up, like
I don't know if these stories are true either.
No,
by the way.
I don't know.
You could be a great liar.
I loved it.
And this is exciting because you have to decide. You know, Carlos's story was amazing, but it was 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Yeah. Lauren has an amazing story, but she went over. So you know, you guys got to think about that.
But how much did she go over?
She went over by 2 seconds.
Holy,
so not bad.
Well, on The Price is Right, she would be disqualified. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, and other places.
We are going to put 1 minute on the clock, and you guys have 1 minute to decide who exactly is going to be the winner of Story Smash tonight. And at this juncture in the show, I would like to give you your present, you guys. And that is an awful lot of chocolate chip cookies. Have some cookies. Pass them back. And one more time for Richard in the back. Richard, Julie at the bar, come on. Clapping is free. And John Cohen, my co-producer. Thank you, John. You know, there's a lot of little factors in this game, and it takes a village here. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it. And again, we'll be back at the Hollywood Improv August 25th. So that's very exciting. So Jenny Johnson is going to announce the winner
it's
of
a hung
Story,
jury,
Story Smash tonight. Go ahead. What did you going to say?
This was a legitimate fight.
Yeah. Did you see us? Did you see all
of us? Did you see how angry we were getting?
Yeah.
It was true.
And Diallo, what did you think of the decision making?
Ooh, it's tough. You know what? I don't want to show. I want to let people know how the sausage is made, but like, it gets really intellectual at some point. You're just like, do you vote with your heart or your head? Like, it's just, it's
and
crazy.
I just feel like I need to share this, but Diallo got super anti-Semitic in the middle of it, and I just met the guy.
It's weird.
But he wasn't wrong.
I'll point out, and this is true, we took our kids where today? Skirball. We saw Noah's Ark, which was sold out.
Nice.
And this lovely couple was nice enough to give us tickets to see Skirball.
That's awesome. I have a black friend. So
yeah, whatever. Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, who is the winner tonight of Story Smash, Jenny?
Miss Lauren Reeves.
Lauren Reeves, you guys. Lauren Reeves. Get up for Lauren Reeves. Big round of applause for everybody who played tonight, including Kevin Avery, Carlos Kotkin, Erica Blumfield, Kristen Carney, and all of our fantastic judges, you guys. Diallo Riddle, Jenny Johnson, Danny Zucker. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night.